Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Pin Gillette.
This is Penn Jillette here on Monkey Tuesday. 866-313-FREE-3733. Today on Free FM, it's all monkeys all the time because it is Tuesday. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. That's Penn with two N's. We're going to have some. It's a great show. It's a great, great show today. We're going to have a dominatrix who had a... I guess you're not supposed to use the word trick, but it's the only one I can think of. She had a trick that involved a monkey, and we're going to have her calling in. We're going to have a mistress live on the phone. And but I do want to say before we get going, and if you have a monkey story, now's the time to get on the blower. 866-313-FREE-3733. Try to stay away from the monkey stories that involve slinging dung or sexual acts, because we don't like to do that on Free FM. We like to do that. We don't like to talk about it. Many times while doing this show, Goudeau and I have been flinging dung and having sexual acts, but we don't talk about it in detail on the air. Speaking of Goudeau, Michael Goudeau is sitting across from me. And I do want to say before we get going, because it does tie in with Monkey Tuesday, that George Ligeti, just died yesterday. Now, George Ligeti is the man who wrote also Spock Thustra, which is the known to we Americans as the 2001 theme. And it comes over that moment, I think perhaps the greatest cut in cinema history, when the monkey man, as he becomes a man, throws the stick into the air, the bone into the air that he's used to beat another monkey, and it becomes a spaceship, and off we go to 2001. So that's a sad thing that he's did. Also, just for those of you who know, if you like 20th Century Classical, and who doesn't like 20th Century Classical, he's written some great stuff. George Ligeti, he'll be missed. I think I'm saying his name right. That's the pronunciation the Times gave. George Ligeti. I don't want to pretend that I just knew how to pronounce it. I always called him the 2001 guy. But I have about, I guess, five or six CDs by him. And it's always 12-tone and out, and kind of, if you're a big fan Bartok, stuff like that. He does good stuff.
You know, I did a quick Google search to find out the pronunciation of his name, so I typed in, George Ligeti and pronunciation, and what I got was an article about him that showed me how to pronounce Budapest.
So. That's the wonder of Google. I went to the opening of 2001. I thought I was 12 years old or 11 or something, and I thought I was going to the world opening, and they happened to have it in Springfield, Massachusetts. But on the Greenfield radio station, which was WHAI, I'm giving someone else's call letters over the years. Okay, I don't think they carry us, but WHAI in which my mom worked, and sort of my sister at one time or another as a secretary there. This little tiny radio station, they had a contest to win tickets to the opening of 2001, and it was like who the first person to orbit the Earth was, or first person to be shot into space.
Sure.
It was either Shepard or Glenn. I don't remember, but at that time I knew, and I won the two tickets, and then in perhaps the cutest phone call of my life. And just so you know,
back when you were cute,
not a lot of competition for the cutest phone call of my life. There's not like, ooh, he's so cute. Not a lot of us. I called and asked if they would let. They would let me buy another ticket so that both my mother and father could go with me.
Wow.
Isn't that cute?
That is cute.
It is cute. And then they gave us a program, which I had never gotten in a movie before. So I thought this was the red carpet. I thought that I was going to mention one of the stars of 2001, so I can't think of any of them. But none of them went on to do very much after that. Marvin Minsky wasn't there, but there was a big article by Marvin Minsky, and I was very, very excited, very excited day in my life. And that was my view of monkeys becoming men, was 2001. And speaking, we're going to have Mistress Victoria Thrashing on very, very soon. She's probably waiting right now, but that's
she
okay.
Is.
Let her hear this in the background, because we have a meet cute. You know, in Hollywood, it's very important that you have a meet cute. Your two characters that are going to fall in love, like Superman and Jimmy Olsen, have to meet in a really, really cute way.
Yeah.
This is a really cute meat. This is from England, all the way from England, which swings like a pendulum do, or swings like a pendulum does. Bobby's riding bicycles fuzz by fuzz. Dear Penn and Michael, just wanted to say what a fantastic show you guys have. I've been an avid podcast listener since February. Consider your show to be one of the highlights of my day. Wanted to pass on to you a story which should go some way in proving how influential Monkey Tuesday has become over here in the UK. I'm a high school teacher, and 3 weeks ago, a Tuesday, in fact, I accompanied a group of pupils to our local zoo. We inevitably came to the monkey house, and we were all gathered around watching the monkeys doing what monkeys do, which at this time seemed to be sitting around doing very little. I announced to the class that they were probably having the day off because it was, adopting a passable Penn Jillette impression, Monkey Tuesday! It was probably better than that. His impersonation was probably better. At which point I heard a voice behind me call out, "Yeah, Monkey Tuesday! Free FM." I looked around and gazed into the smiling face of an incredibly attractive student teacher in her early 20s from another school. We got to talking about your show and discovered that we were both big fans of yours. We have kept in touch since then and talk almost every day about your show. Despite the fact we live 100 miles apart, we are now going steady and are planning to take a holiday to Vegas later this year in hopes of catching your shows, all because of Monkey Tuesday. Thank you so much for bringing us together. Without you and your weekly humorous monkey stories, we would never have met. Keep up the good work. That is John from Manchester, England, England, across the Atlantic Sea. And just to keep going in this kind of fun sexual adventures caused by monkeys, I'd like to take a call from Mistress Victoria Thrasher. What line is she on?
She's on 12.
Line 12. Hello, Mistress.
Well,
you there?
Yes,
how you doing?
Oh, I am wonderful. It is always a pleasure to be part of your day.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so
She's
much.
She's calling from Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, yes, which means red stick.
Yes, it does.
It means red stick, and you've had experience with that, I'm sure.
Well, yes, apparently so.
Now, it is Monkey Tuesday, so you have a monkey story for us. Is that right, Victoria?
Sugar, I have perhaps the most definitive Monkey Tuesday story ever devised. And I must say that I participate in this. Every word of it is true. And it involves kinky sex, celebrities, and, of course, monkeys.
Oh. Go. Tell it. Tell it.
Well, all right. Here's
but
go.
Try to keep it clean, Victoria. Try to keep it clean.
Oh, absolutely. I deal in nothing but class, sugar.
Okay.
Incidentally, the word is not trick. The word is not gig, the word is session or appointment.
Session or appointment. So you're going to tell us about a particular session.
Well, this is very early on, when I first started working professionally. Mm-hmm. One of my very first calls was a gentleman who told me that he was in show business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of young, so I was fairly intrigued. I wouldn't want to go so far as to say Star Trek, but I was very curious. And he said that he was not a performer, but that he managed one of the biggest and most prolific acts in all the world. So he said that the star would be witnessing the session, and he asked if I would mind. He seemed to think that this would greatly add to his humiliation. So I was just
and that's fine. What he was. That was he was engaging your services for was to be sexually humiliated. Is that right?
Yes, apparently so.
Yeah.
And so I was just dying with curiosity. I could not imagine who this could be. This is about the early 90s, and so I'm thinking, you know, Mel Gibson, Tom Cruise, whoever, you know, was big at the time. And I was just dying to find out. So I could not wait. I figured, what could be more exciting than plying my craft in front of one of the top celebrities in the world?
Yeah.
I know. So I showed up at this gentleman's home. And he greeted me at the door, and he was very sweet and polite. And he took my coat and my tar bag and all. And he was very gracious. And I'm looking over his shoulder, you know, trying to find out who this might could be that would be here ready to witness my artistry. And he says that he's going to take me into the living room. And we go into the living room, and he says, "Oh, mistress, we are so grateful that you've come. And we've been so looking forward to meeting you. I would like you to meet Henry." And so I put on this big, pretty smile and stood up nice and tall. And I turned around, and sitting on the sofa, wearing a suit and tie, is him.
Oh, just say that sentence again.
Sitting on the sofa, wearing a suit and tie, is a chimp.
Oh, yeah!
A chimp.
Now, wait for it, baby, because it gets better.
Okay.
The chimp was smoking.
Yes! Yes! Oh!
He has
okay.
a cigarette in his hand, and he is puffing away, held in two fingers. I completely lost it.
Of course you did! What else could you do?
Well, I just started laughing so hard, I swear I practically wet myself.
Which is usually extra money.
Well, yes. So I was just laughing like crazy, and my host goes on to explain that his friend had indeed starred in many films, but he was now semi-retired. And he asked repeatedly, he kept saying, well, do you mind if he stays? Do you mind if he watches? And I promise, he says, he'll stay right where he is, and he won't interfere. And I just couldn't handle it. The more he kept making excuses for this chimp, the funnier it was, and I just laughed myself into this fit. And I looked over at Henry, the chimp, and just as I look over, he taps his ashes out on the rug, and he pulls on his collar like Rodney Dangerfield. And he's just sitting there, and I was just overcome. I was completely overcome. My laughter soon turns into this horrendous fit of hiccuping. And I could not stop hiccuping, which I thought was even funnier, and it made me laugh more, and it made it worse. So my host was completely beside himself because I had lost it, you know. And he's running around. He's trying to get me tissues and ice water and all. And this, to see his friend running around like the chicken without a head, just tickles Henry the chimp to no end, and he starts laughing and clapping his hands together. He puts his finger in his mouth, and he's jumping up and down on the couch just laughing. And this set me off even more. Now I've got projectile tears shooting out of my eyes because I'm laughing so hard. And my mascara's run on my face, and I'm looking like Alice Cooper in drag. I just couldn't handle it. I said, sugar, I'm going to need to go. I can't stay here. And I grabbed my things and I left. You know, I tried to put on this air of detached indifference, you know. And my laughing so hard that my makeup running off my face and tears shooting out of my eyes and hiccuping kind of shot down all the hell. So I made my apologies and I left. But I was very glad that I had kept his deposit. You know, because I was thinking on the way home that this, in fact, might could have been the session in itself. It was very, it seemed very staged and choreographed and orchestrated. So I'm thinking, have I been had? You know, did he hire me just to come and show me a smoking monkey and see what I do?
Well, you know, if he did, he's a genius.
That's what I'm saying. I give him all the respect in the world. But still, I did keep his deposit.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mistress Victoria. That was just a heartwarming, beautiful, beautiful story. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling.
Be able to share it with you.
Well, thank you so much, Victoria. Thank you. You know, you forwarded me Victoria's email, and then I started writing with her a little bit. And I have to say that the reason you didn't hear the Penn Jillette screaming, uncontrollable cackle is she had written this story up and sent it to me, and I became helpless with mirth reading it then. So the story was not a surprise enough to me, which is good, because otherwise I would have been drowning her out. If she had said, you know, in a suit and tie, sitting on the couch, smoking a cigarette, pulling on his collar like Rodney Dangerfield, and I had heard that for the first time, I think I would have gone insane. You know, I remember I was reading that story, reading it over and over again. It's just perfect. And it reminds me, you know, the idea of using sex workers as performance art. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if she if she'd be okay with the term sex worker, but in a broad sense. My friend, I was just going to say his name, and I think maybe I shouldn't because maybe this would make someone angry. But a friend of mine was a writer for David Letterman. And they write the monologue. The writers get the whole monologue done at about 5, and then Dave goes on and does it at 5:30. And they had it done a little bit early that day. The monologue was pretty much laid out at 5:10. So my buddy grabbed Letterman's monologue and went down to 42nd Street. When 42nd Street, before Disney bought it, when 42nd Street was actually the Deuce and had all the sex places. And there were all these talk to alive nude girl places where you'd get these tokens. And I've heard for like a buck a minute, you'd put the coin in and the shield would come up and then you would see a naked woman in there. And then you would talk usually by a little telephone thing and engage in, through glass. You would engage in whatever fun sex you wanted to have in that way. And he ran into the booth with the with the Letterman monologue and put in $6, which raised it long enough to be able to do Dave's monologue. And he said to the woman behind the, who's got, you know, she's got tools. She's naked and she has tools in her hands to amuse you. And he said to her, "I have Letterman's monologue here. This is Letterman's monologue from tonight. If you watch it, this is the monologue." And he holds the paper up, and then he looks at her, holds the phone up, and to a live nude girl in Times Square, reads Letterman's monologue from that night. And she sits there ready to do whatever activity this particular kink is going to call for, but there's no activity to call for at all. He just reads Letterman's monologue. And as the monologue goes on, she starts laughing at the jokes, and he starts checking out where the jokes are that she laughed, and underlining them like a writer would. And then he says, "I'm not kidding, really. Watch the Letterman show tonight. These are the jokes you'll hear." And then the thing goes zhook and it comes down, and he runs back to Dave and gives him the monologue and says, "These are the jokes that a live new girl actually liked read to her. These are the ones you want to lean on a little bit." And it was the same time that it was that same time when I went with the same friend to talk to a live new girl. And it was probably the greatest moment of my life because I went into this place and I put my my money in the slot and the window went up and I put like a dollar in, so she had like a minute. And she looked at me for a moment and then for another moment and she talked a little bit. No sex happened at all. We were just on the phone. And then it was right after I'd done Miami Vice, okay? So I had been the guest star on the season opener of season 2 of Miami Vice. I was shot in the head during that show because you spend 2 months with Don Johnson, and then you tell me how much you want to live. So I was shot in the head on that show, and it was all over. It was a big, big show then. And just as the minute's running up, she looks at me and goes, "Wait a minute, you're Penn. You were on Miami Vice." And the window goes, zhunk. And I yell through the window, "If you want to see more of me, you got to pay a dollar." That was the greatest moment. So the idea of using sex workers for performance art pieces, not that make fun of the sex workers in any way, but bring them joy. You know, our friend, the Mistress Victoria, she got to see a smoking monkey. The woman with my buddy got to hear the Letterman monologue. She got to see a guy from Miami Vice. So there are other uses for sex workers besides just the obvious, just sex. It's a towel rack that's also a radio. We'll be back after this. Penn Jillette, Monkey Tuesday, 866-313. Free with your monkey stories. But you have no chance of beating Mistress Victoria. She'll be you. We used a little different theme song there. Was it a couple weeks ago that a guy called in and said that he had a great theme for our show? And that's the Mad Caddies, who were clearly a ska group and maybe not quite as clearly English. They were just on. And I have to say, Did I give my name at the top of the segment as Penn Jillette?
I don't think you did.
Good, because my name is no longer Penn Jillette. 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. My name is not Penn Jillette. My name is W. Wrongy Wrongenstein.
I think it's H. Wrongy Wrongenstein.
H. Wrongy Wrongenstein, actually. H. Wrongy Wrongenstein is who I am. Jesus Christ in a monkey suit. I could not have been more wrong. Dead wrong. I said also Spock Zarathustra was by Ligeti. It's not. It's by Strauss, of course. Of course it's by Strauss. Everybody knows that. Apparently, from looking at the people writing in to our to our Gmail at PennRadio@gmail.com, really everybody knows. We got 5.5 billion notes
that's
saying
right.
That's Strauss.
That's right. Levi Strauss.
Levi Strauss. The music I was talking about, the Ligeti music, is the...
Yes, those kind of long chords.
That goes right when the monolith is first seen in 2001. So George Ligeti did do music for 2001, although he didn't know it. He didn't find out till he went to the show that they used it. But he did have that music. He did have his particular kind of monkey music was used in that. And then it went to Strauss, and that's during the cut and the whole thing. And everybody, really everybody in the world knows that, especially someone who at 12 years old went to see the world premiere of 2001 in Springfield, Massachusetts. I think it was actually West Springfield. Everybody knows that, and it was just crazy stupid. I can't say I'd like to have some sort of excuse, like I always confuse Ligeti with Strauss or something. or I'd like to say that, you know, this is the reason it's good to drink. Kids, if you're listening, I never had a drink and never did drugs in my life. So anything that goes wrong is always my fault. And I'm so envious of people who can say, you know, I was so faced that this is what I said. Or I was up all last night drinking, so today I can't even think straight. No, what I was drinking when I said that was stupid drink. I drink the stupidest drink that is available to humanity. I drink a venti. 5-shot decaf Americano. So the only reason you drink an Americano is for the buzz you get from caffeine. I take the caffeine out, and all I have is the bitterness. So that's what I was drinking. And really, kids, if you're listening, I really wish I was downing, I don't know, I was going to try to mention a kind of drink. Vodka. I wish I was drinking something that would give you the excuse of not knowing Strauss from Ligeti when he bites you in the ass. I didn't know the difference at all. But we are just maggoty with phone calls on this beautiful Monkey Tuesday. So I think we should take a few, 866-313-3733. Remember, we've covered the flinging dung, and we've covered the solo sexual acts really well on this show. So we're hoping you're going to have something else. We usually involves monkey torture, but let's see what else we've got. Got a phone call you want to take?
We do. We have line one. This is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, what's up? This is Penn, man.
Hey, Penn. Is this Penn? What's up, brother?
I'm doing
wonderfully.
Hey, listen,
I got a story from you. Yes.
Lay it on me. Prepositions don't matter.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Wrongenstein. Listen, when I was like 12 or 13, I grew up right outside of Atlantic City, and I heard you a couple weeks ago. I do remember you at Great Adventure. And I had this, I was a paper delivery boy, and they had a pet store there. And they had a couple monkeys in there, and every time I went in there to deliver the newspaper, you know, early in the morning, he always put his arm out. So the one day I decided, well, I'll get a little close to him. I thought he was getting to know me. And he grabs my hand, pulls it in, and bites right through my fingernail.
Oh!
Yeah. Well, as once I finally ripped my finger out of his mouth, you know, and the devil were looking at him, he turned around and his tail came out of the cage, out of the little slots in the cage. So I grabbed him by his tail and started trying to jerk him through the cage. As a 13-year-old, I figured I'm going to get revenge on him.
Sure.
So he starts screaming and yelling, and the woman at the pet store throws me out of the store.
Yeah.
I didn't let it bother me, and we were about 2 weeks away from Halloween. So, of course, I was all dressed up at Halloween, and I figured I'm still going to get revenge. So sure. I turn around, and I go back in there, and I give him bubble gum. He's eating this bubble gum like, you know, the old bazooka bit. He's got like 6 or 7 pieces of it in his mouth. And luckily he didn't swallow it, but what he did is he started ripping it out of his mouth and putting it, and it got all in his hair. So, of course, scared as hell, I fly out of the store. I went back about 2 weeks later, and this whole monkey was totally shaved to nothing at all. It was like, and I'm just looking at him, pointing my finger at him like, remember my bit finger? This is what you get, you know?
Now, do you still have a scar on your finger?
Yeah, believe it or not, on my index finger on my right hand, I still have a tiny indentation on the skin side.
And when you look at that, every time you look at that little indentation, do you think of a shaved monkey?
No, I just want to go back and get him again. Believe it or not, every time I see a monkey, I kind of all I do is think about, man, I wish I had bubble gum on me. You know? Whether it was him, his brother, because I know they're all related. Somehow they're related, and I will get back at them all.
Here's the man who would not take it anymore.
Oh no. And I still look for him, you know. And I live outside of Tom's River now, and it's kind of like funny because when I get down that way and I pass the store, I always just think about pulling in to see if he's still there, you know. Give him another 6 or 7 pieces of bubble gum and let him try chewing it, you know.
Good thinking. Well, thanks a lot for calling. Right, thanks. You know, We had Lawrence O'Donnell on a couple weeks ago while you were sailing.
Yep.
And he came on a Wednesday. No, Thursday, I guess. So he had heard Monkey Tuesday. And that was the show he heard. So he was going to come on to talk about politics. And he was a little upset because he had heard the tone of the Tuesday show and thought that he wasn't going to be able to rise to the occasion. And what I loved about it was my reaction, you know, because he said that he was really surprised that person after person called in with different ways to torture monkeys. And all we did was laugh, and other people called it and enjoyed it. And not one person was calling in going, you know, maybe you shouldn't torture monkeys. But they were finding ways, you know, turning your antenna on when they were sitting there, giving them laxatives. And then all we did was laugh. And he thought it was a beautiful little segment of population that listens to the show that really enjoys that. And of course, the wonderful thing about Lawrence O'Donnell is he thought it was every day. He thought that every day we just had people call in and talk about how they were torturing monkeys, which I think our show would. Can you imagine how successful we would be if it were every day? If it were every day, I think we would be so rich. We would be going over to Sirius. We'd do 2 years of advertisement for it on this, and then we'd move over to Sirius and get like $500 million, and we would just sit around going, what's in the news, Robin? any other monkey stories? That's all we would sit around doing. So drink Snapple. What's some of the monkeys?
We're in trouble now.
No, I don't think we're in trouble. Are we in trouble?
No, I don't think.
Not
me. I'm not in trouble. I think your name will feature prominently in the trouble.
My name, Michael Goudeau, has featured strongly in a lot of trouble. Yes. You know, there's stuff that we avoid saying here, but people know that there's trouble occasionally that pops up. I was at an art opening with Martin Mull and Steve Martin the other night, and they just, you know, come up to me and go, so you're in trouble again. You know, it's just that kind of stuff. So maybe I say something now and again. But we will have more people calling. Once again, W. Wrongy Wrongenstein. I could not have been more wrong on the Strauss thing. There'll be a written apology in the Times tomorrow to Ligeti and the estate of Strauss. And apologize for that. I'm very, very sorry. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. It's Monkey Tuesday. We'll take more calls and in Gmails. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Drink Snapple. This is Penn Jillette, also known as W. Wrongy Wrongenstein. 866-313-FREE, 3733. As you can tell by the music, the wonderful Mike Jones music, which you can hear more of, PennRadio.com. That's Penn with 2 N's, PennRadio.com. If you go there, you can pick up the monkey music. Just download it, take it, play it all the time on your computer, all day long at work. Be playing that. Burn it to a CD, play it in your car. Whenever you want to tell a monkey story, you have that Monkey Tuesday music right there. Everybody will know exactly where you're going, what you're talking about. Penradio@gmail.com. I got some Gmails I want to read. A great one about monkey wrestling. But didn't you say you have a phone call you want to take?
We have
Mike Goodell has a phone call, and phone calls always come ahead of Gmails. So that's the way it works on the show because it's live. You get to hear their voice. If we had not heard Mistress Victoria's voice, that would have been a less good story. In my voice, that's a less good story. Still a great story, but her voice. We got a Gmail from Mistress Victoria that said, "I hope I exceeded your expectations." What's that? I'm not going to do the "I hope I sugar." I hope I exceeded your expectations.
That was beautiful.
I love her so much. 866-313-3733 on a beautiful Las Vegas Monkey Tuesday. Take a phone call.
Line 4, Chet.
Hey, Chet, what's up, boss?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Never better, boss. Never better.
Excellent. I got a good story. I went to India a couple years ago with my wife and I and my family to get married, and we were traveling after the
It's
wedding.
An awful place. Why'd you go there to get married?
Yeah, it wasn't my choice. It was her parents' choice and all that.
Okay.
Stuff, so.
Okay, we'll get into that. Go on with the monkeys.
Okay, well, so, you know, we're in the northern part of India, and we're shopping. So me and my brother-in-law are just standing outside, and some guy dropped his, you know, his Indian cigarette. You know those beedies?
The beedies, yeah. So really annoying cigarettes.
Yeah. So he drops it on the floor, and some monkey runs up, grabs it, and runs up on top of the store on the roof and starts smoking it. Me and my brother-in-law are like, "You got to be kidding me." And he's looking at it. The monkey's looking at us like, "What, you want to hit?" We're just like, this is not happening. And nobody would believe us, but we're like, we see this monkey smoking, just chilling and smoking on the rooftop.
Well, it's nice to know that the idea of a smoking monkey is international. Whether it be a Lucky Strike or a Beady, they're all smoking all over the world.
Right, exactly.
How'd the wedding go? Are you still married?
Still married, and we just had our first child, actually.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations. I don't suppose the child's name is Beady or anything cool like that.
No.
Okay. Just checking. Okay, man, thanks a lot for calling. Thanks so much. You want another call you want to do?
Sure. We got Artie on line one.
Hey, Artie. Come on. Talk to us, man. How you doing, boss?
Yeah, good, good. I had Thanksgiving dinner with Zippy the TV chimp.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did.
Tell us all about it.
I couldn't make it out to my parents' house, and I was sitting at home Thanksgiving, and my friend had called me up in Freeport. He said, "Come on over. We have room for one more." I went over, opened up the front door. On the other side was Zippy the TV chimp, all dressed up, ready for his Thanksgiving dinner.
You know, was he dressed as a pilgrim, as an Indian, or in just formal clothes?
No, formal clothes. He had a little sports jacket on. There was no tie. It wasn't that kind of that formal.
But, and how were his table manners?
Very good, very good. I was sitting right next to him for... I would say a good half hour. He spilt the milk that he was drinking, and he didn't have to be told. He got up, got some paper towels, cleaned it up. It was an experience. It was definitely one of the Thanksgiving dinners that will stick with me.
Now, why were the two of you, you and Zippy, both invited to the same Thanksgiving dinner? I mean, what was the connection? What was the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon in that one?
Well, Zippy owned all the houses. It's like a rental area. There was about 6 bungalows.
And he owned them?
Yes. Zippy the TV Chimp Corporation owned all those houses, and my friend was renting one of them.
Now, was there more than one Zippy the Chimp, Zippy the TV Chimp?
Yeah, this was, I think he was the third Zippy. He was actually wearing a bandana from Willie Nelson that Willie Nelson had given him throughout the
Now you're just making stuff up.
No,
you're just throwing
I
stuff in
not.
To be cool. And he had a bracelet from Lance Armstrong. That's just terrific. And what seemed to be his favorite food to feast on that
he
Thanksgiving?
Liked stuffing.
Oh, the stuffing, sure.
The stuffing
me too.
Was it.
Me too. And the cranberry sauce?
I don't remember the cranberry sauce, but I do remember him eating a lot of stuffing.
Well, yeah. You spend a little bit of time by yourself, young man, and you remember that cranberry sauce, and then you call us back, okay?
Okay. Have a good
Thanks
day.
A lot for calling. Thanks a lot for calling. TV's Zippy the Chip.
Yeah, Pops, they're so much like us.
Pops.
The stuffing thing, man, that's me.
Yeah. I didn't ask about the gravy. We probably should have asked him about gravy.
Well, you know, we had lunch with chimps on several occasions, actually.
Yeah, we did. We had lunch with a chimp named Tarzan.
Yeah.
And we'd go out at a restaurant. And I guess there's now some legislation that says people can dine outdoors with their dog. That was in some state. And there were a couple restaurants in Vegas that let us dine on the patio.
Yep.
And I was asking, I guess you don't say owner because that's politically incorrect now. But
his pal.
His companion. We asked Tarzan's companion what he eats, and he eats anything we eat.
Yes.
Because he was eating nachos.
Or he was eating chips, yeah.
Yeah, chips.
He was dipping them, too. Dipping them in guacamole and eating them.
No double dipping.
No double dipping.
No, he was well-trained.
Very well-mannered.
Very, very well-mannered, well-trained chip. Unless you get a midget or a young boy around them, and then everything goes back to primal. It's just horrible. It's terrible. Do you have a call you really want to take, or should I read this?
You read that. That's a good story. You should read that story.
Hello, Mr. Gillette, Mr. Goodell. I know that you think that a smoking monkey is the funniest thing ever, but I guess it's just because you haven't seen a monkey in full Mexican wrestler garb. About 8 years ago, I was fortunate enough to attend a commercial shoot for some clothing line down in Mexico City. The commercial included a Lucador?
I don't know.
Lucador chimp? Yeah. Shiny mask, satin cape, shiny pants, the works. And some telenovela starlet dressed, with all due respect, so slutty that she could make a Brazilian tranny blush. This guy's a good writer. Don't worry, this isn't about monkey self-pleasure. Quite the opposite. The chimp, called Papillo, was pretty cute and docile, but as soon as he saw the starlet with the huge hair, the nails, and the hooker face paint, he just freaked out. She was supposed to be tied to a chair, and the monkey was supposed to set her free, as any masked hero should. But it was impossible to get Papillo to come near the girl. Things got so out of hand, the so-called chimp trainer started screaming at Papillo, and the monkey quickly climbed to the rafters of the soundstage, where he remained for the rest of the shoot. The star had a little time off, so it was decided to shoot her scene with the chimp understudy, who wasn't trained at all and only stood on the stage mocking us. But the costume fit, so that was that. Then half an hour later, the crew was shooting the scene when suddenly a huge reflector blew up. Everybody thought that the hero chimp had fallen or something, but it turned out that Papillo had just spilled some liquid over the lamp. The liquid was soda. Turns out that while everybody was busy shooting the scenes, the chimp had come down from the rafters and raided the craft service table, taking a can of soda and some other food. So with that knowledge, the trainer managed to lure Papillo down from his vantage spot, and everything turned out fine. The TV spot was crap, as expected, but everyone got their check and a wonderful memory of Papillo, the monkey Lucador. Lucador is a kind of wrestler, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
With a chimp and everything. I don't know. I'm trying to picture a monkey in full Mexican wrestler drag. You know, I'm trying to think of that. Let me see. What did he say it was? Shiny mask, satin cape, shiny pants. So it's like the Jack Black thing, right?
Sure.
That Jack Black has got that movie coming out. And he just had a kid also, so congratulations to Jack Black. But he's dressed in that whole Mexican wrestler. I'm fascinated by that Mexican wrestler stuff. But it seems like, I don't know. This is the hard part of gauging funny. We need somebody that's funnier than us. Eddie Gorodetsky would be able to answer this. A monkey's face is so funny that it would seem like putting a monkey in a mask would make him less funny. But perhaps because a mask is people clothes, that a monkey in people clothes is always funny. So maybe that adds it out. Maybe Thanksgiving dinner. Why don't we put all this together? Why don't we bring in the Brazilian slut and the dominatrix and the monkey in Thanksgiving and the monkey with the shaved with the bubble gum. All of this could just go together really nice and make a wonderful Monkey Tuesday wrap up. Do you have one? Do you have one call you want to take?
We do.
Show?
We have okay. Anthony on line five. Are you there, Anthony?
Hey, Andy. This is Pat. How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing, boss? Doing very well.
I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. When I was like 12 years old, a friend of mine had a party and they had Mr. Jiggs, the trained chimp.
Sure.
And, yeah, so they had the party in the house, so he's running around on his tricycle and stuff, so we all thought it was real funny. And I'm sitting there in the front row, and I guess he took offense the way I was laughing. And I guess people don't really know how strong a chimp is because he was bending unopened cans of soda with his lips.
Sure.
So he grabbed me and started to thwart me. He banged me up against the wall, and I kept laughing harder. So, he threw me up against the wall, and he started pounding on me with the back of his hand. Now, this is like a 150-pound chimp. He was throwing me. I was a 150-pound fat kid from Jersey. So
okay.
He beat me like a rented suit. Let me tell you something. And I loved every second of it. So, it started getting worse. So then the trainer had to grab him, and then one of the parents had to help him pull him off of me. And I'm laughing the whole time. The guy's like, "You're all right." I guess he figured I was going to, you know, sue him or something. But I had a good time. I mean, I guess he thought I was going to take the Winnebago he pulled up to the house in from him. But yeah, it was the most surreal. Even at 12 years old, you know, that's like the most surreal thing that ever happened. I'm just like, it was hysterical. It was, you know, I like it happened yesterday. And then he gets done beating on me and he goes and has a cigarette. And I'm like, it was totally a classic moment, and I'll never forget it. I'm glad, you know, I'm just glad it happened to me.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for calling. That's,
all right.
That is so, so terrific. I just love the absolute joy of being beaten by a chimp. I was a 150-pound fat kid from Jersey. Oh, man. And I just love the, I'm so glad it happened to me. And you notice that if LOD is listening today, I want to point out, no revenge. Do you hear that? No revenge on the monkey whatsoever. He laughs, monkey beats him, he laughs some more, monkey beats him, he laughs some more, monkey beats him, goes out of a cigarette. He just lights one up, has a good time. Well, there's no doubt in our, you know, a lot of shows say, you know, we have the best listeners in the world. I think we could prove it in a court of law. I think that the people that call this show have to be the most interesting, great people in the world. I mean, how many other people call up? What other shows? You know, Larry King, you know, he never gets calls from guys who say, "I was a fat kid from Jersey being beat up by a chimp and laughing." Now, what I like to picture is Mistress Victoria in the room, in her whole dominatrix garb, watching the fat kid from Jersey getting beat up by the chimp, and everybody laughing hysterically.
Maybe she should get a chimp.
Well, you said there's
raise her rates.
Raise her rates a lot.
Yeah, chimps are expensive.
Yeah, but I mean, also, there used to be an act in the carny. We'll talk about this sometime, some Monkey Tuesday in detail. We'll talk about this. But there was an act in carnival. It was very popular, where people would be brought up to wrestle an orangutan and always to disastrous results. I don't think they were as tough as the guy who just called us, who just would laugh all the way through at people. $100
for 2 minutes, baby.
$100 for 2 minutes, sure. This is Penn Jillette sitting here with Michael Goudeau on a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll be here tomorrow, try to cover a little bit more news, give you more of the nut perspective on the news. But today was just a, you know, after 2 weeks of you know, being sailing and, you know, Matt King filled in, it's great to have a Monkey Tuesday back with Michael Goudeau.
Pleasure
this
to
is
be
Free
here.
FM. Free FM, Penn Jillette.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.